Are you an executive seeking to lead with purpose and resilience? The Wholehearted Leadership Cohort, designed for executives and high-capacity leaders like you, is led by Jeff and Tara Matson. This unique program offers trauma-informed coaching, personalized mentorship, and a community of peers to help you navigate the challenges of leadership without compromising your values. Don't miss the opportunity to grow in both your professional and your personal life. Applications are open now. Visit livingwholehearted.com to apply.
In any dialogue that you're having, you need to be able to communicate your voice. You need to be able to hear the other person's perspective. In order to do that accurately, you really both have to have that commitment of staying present with one another, eye contact, listening, actually, you know, staying with a person, taking turns.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast, helping leaders live with integrity.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me? Hey, do you ever like realize that we talk to each other? We like yell at each other from around the house. Adonai was just telling me that the other day, and she's like, "You guys are an old couple. You yell across the house and expect that the other one's going to hear you."
It's our special way of communicating. We're so close that we can do that.
We mind read. Well, actually, nobody can mind read. So today we're going to talk about listening well, and that a wholehearted leader actually learns how to listen. And Jeff and I paid professionals to listen. I have been doing this a little longer than Jeff in the more professional capacity. And even after 20 plus years of being trained to listen well and to do a good job with my clients, I still struggle in my real life with my real relationships.
With the people you love the most.
Yeah. So I'll just start out with like grace. That's to say honest. We all struggle. Yeah. Even though a lot of us think we're really amazing listeners, there's a blind spot for most of us.
Yeah. It's always on my New Year's resolution list. Even though I don't really make a list, it's something I always say to myself. How am I continuing to grow in my ability to listen, you know, to those, especially that I love the most, because that is just human nature to give our best energies to people that we care about and that are important at work or at home, you know, or around in the community and our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. But, when it comes down to it in our marriage, in our relationships with our kiddos, we can just take each other for granted. It just can happen. And we start just expecting people to read our minds or get what we say the first time, you know, and dismiss everything we know to be true about how people are wired differently and communicate differently and need that in specific ways. It's just so funny.
Yeah. So we recently did a podcast on Core Values Index. So we're not going to go over the CVI today, but if you want to listen to that after listening to this one, it might help you learn a little bit more about those communication styles and the different preferences that we have in our wiring. Today, we're just going to talk about the human struggle to hear people that have a different perspective, a different day, environment, backdrop, cultural perspective, and to be able to do it. Who's the guy who teaches about convicted civility?
Oh, that's Dr. Richard Mao.
Thank you.
Fuller Seminary.
Yes. And to have an ability to have conviction, we don't have to always agree, but civility and learning how to listen well. And we can do that in our homes, and we can do that in our workspaces, and we can do that in our communities. So we're going to give the how-to as well, but let's just talk about what we typically do as human beings. So there's probably 6 or 7 kind of typical styles. One is the narcissistic style. Okay. So you start talking, and then it reminds me of a story that is from my own life. And so you're telling me about, you know, something that happened at work. And I'm like, oh, that happened to me too. And it kind of becomes a tit for tat. And you've now hijacked the whole conversation. And I can't tell you how many times I've done that with my girls as they're telling me a story. And then I'm like, oh, this is my opportunity to tell you about my teen years.
You've just totally taken over. And the other person is like, oh, okay.
Don't do it.
I guess about you. We use an image for that, right? It's like in the listening, it's a person holding up the mirror to themselves with a big smile. They're really just waiting for an opportunity to share about themselves. So that's what kind of you're referring to about a narcissistic spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the other ones is the, we call it the like honeybee response. It's not the busy bee, it's the honeybee. It's the sweet honey response where they're listening, but they're really not wanting to go to the depths of where you're at emotionally. And sometimes we see this more in the church and in Christian culture of kind of wrapping things with a big bow. Of going, oh yeah, that's hard, but God's gonna use this in your life someday. And we wrap it with a sweet little, and you know what? That is true. He does use all things for the good of those who love him, Romans 8:28. Yeah. But the timing sometimes of when we offer that truth is really the key.
Yeah, that's so important. How are you using sort of sweetness and positivity to kind of cover or keep away from negative emotions, for mm-hmm. example? It's easy when somebody's talking about something fun and exciting. Of course, you know, then you can just sort of add that fun flavor to it. But if someone's sharing something that's mm-hmm. that's hard, or that's where they're hurt, or it can be a subtle approach towards making yourself feel good, so that you don't have to go to where they are or join them. And mm-hmm. so that's an easy thing to do and to fall into. Yeah. Another one that we use and come with is kind of the, it's sort of a picture, the image of somebody that's kind of pulling their bootstraps up, kind of doing the hard. They're in a challenge course and they're trying to get underneath through the mud and underneath the wires and trying to get to a destination and so on and so forth. So it's like it's a person that is, that has that mentality just of suck it up, you know, like we do hard here. And you think that what you're sharing is hard. Mm-hmm. No, it's really not. So the minimization factor, mm-hmm. easy to slide into that sometimes, especially if you've had a day or you're going through a season that's difficult, and mm-hmm. we can magnify our own circumstances and minimize a person that's sharing something with us as a means of getting our needs met in unhealthy ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ironically, as a professional licensed marriage and family counselor, that is my go-to. There's something inside me where I just am like, and it's probably because I sit with so much hard. Sometimes I can minimize even just having a bad date in my own little circle, no names mentioned.
Yeah, but in your mind, you battle that in your mind.
I do, and I battle it even for myself of the comparison game to who has it harder. So that is also an unhealthy response for all of us is just, you know, suck it up. Life is hard. We all got harder. Your heart's not as bad as that person's heart. The other one is the busy bee. So the other bee is the one who's just moving and is trying to listen, but you can tell with their body language, they're constantly moving. They're looking at their watch. They're doing the when are you going to be done with this kind of listening. And we are all guilty of one or a couple of these. So no shame in this, but just recognizing that especially for us high capacity leaders, people feel our anxiety and our schedules. And so we are wanting to grow integrity if we're the busy bee to start making margin. How can I start creating margin not only in my own body and my own rhythms to self-care, but in my schedule so that I have room to actually listen well? But the busy bee response really communicates, you're not that important to me. I got other bigger things on my schedule. And body language is probably the number one way we communicate this. We might use our words sometimes to say that.
Yeah, and another picture that comes to my mind that is of the tool belt, right? It's the person that's basically just needs to fix things, right? And for whatever reason, as a listener, to go right to fix it mode. There are some gender truths to this and differences that there are always exceptions to this, but generally men have that kind of reputation to be fixers and rather than to be, you know, quality listeners when it comes to male-female interaction and dialogue. But it is actually something that anybody can do. Mm-hmm. And you can, how you were raised is a huge influencer into how this goes. But, you know, someone's sharing something with you and you go right to solutions. You think as a listener, and I can say I struggle with this many times, not just being a guy also, but also in my wiring, how I'm made as a doer.
Mm-hmm. You want action.
Yeah, to really provide solutions that will change the outcomes for the other person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a growth curve for a long time to realize that that's not necessarily what a person needs. Mm-hmm. They need presence. They need many people. My special person right here my
now.
Most important person in this relationship, you know, doesn't always need that. There are times when you need that and want that.
Yeah.
So just learning to ask about, is this a time to be with you and to join with you and to let you kind of get out the things that you need to? Or is this a time where you would like me to specifically strategize about solutions?
Yeah. You literally ask that. And I will even sometimes just tell you, this is a time where I don't want any fixing it. I just need you to listen. And that just gives us a really great outcome if we use our words to communicate what we need. So that's great. The last one is that critical response. And honestly, this is probably because we're uncomfortable with what someone's sharing, or it's really foreign to our world. But if you kind of picture kind of the brow, you know, squinched, and then your finger wagging, and it's just kind of a, how could you think that? How could you feel that? How could you have done that?
I told you so.
I told you so. And it's just this posture of we're listening, but we're judging too. Yeah. And so these are all things that we struggle based on wiring and our story, as Jeff just said. But we have all the kind of the same roadmap that we can use to bring in healthy listening, that to be able to meet the need that every human has, which is to be seen, to be known, and to be heard, to be able to have our voices heard and our perspective understood. Is our perspective and our voice always right or accurate? No. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, about how to have both voices or both perspectives as part of the listening process. But initially, the more mature, this is how I like to say it, and it may come out shaming, I don't mean it this way, but I always like to think the more mature person is able to really hold their posture of listening first. And what that does is it helps the other person who's maybe I don't use most mature, maybe it's more just who's more flooded in their brain and is overwhelmed. If you're more calm and grounded, then you're the one that's going to be the listener first. And if we're the parent or the person of power, we're the one who has the title, or we're the person who's bigger, or in the situation where we've got more control, we're the coach, wherever we're the leader, we have responsibility to lead with listening first, to become with a posture. And I think Jesus models this in the most beautiful ways. There were probably a lot of times when he just wanted to tell his disciples what he was thinking. But instead, he does a lot of hearing them. He does say some truth. So being able to offer our feedback is still a good part of listening, but it's one of the last things we do, and we do it with permission. So the first posture is really who's most regulated. And regulated is anywhere from 0 to 10 if you are below a 5. And when we think about intensity of the body, you can be affected by, have you eaten your food yet?
Are you hangry?
Yeah, hangry. Well, you know, have I eaten? Am I slept well? Have I exercised? How's my anxiety levels? What are my stress levels been like today? And so knowing your number before you enter a conversation, if you're below a 5, you're going to be a better listener. If you're above a 5, you got to go do something. And it takes about a half hour. You've heard us say this over and over, a half hour to get your body a little more grounded. But it's not a good idea to have a really intense conversation and to have to listen if you're above a 5, if you're at a 6, 7, 8, 9 in terms of your body feeling intense. Sometimes that's a new skill for many of us, especially high level leaders who live with a lot of intensity, and our cortisol, our stress levels are off. And so we have almost an addiction into adrenaline. And so it takes us a while to learn what is a 0 to 5. This is what we do a lot with our coaches and trying to help, or our clients, our leaders, trying to get them down from living at a constant 6, 7, 8, 9, because we're terrible listeners when we're at that level of stress. So before we go into the process of listening well, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's just the framework that we offer in all kinds of circles, whether it's to leaders in the workspace, it's to folks in the home, and leaders that that are coming to home to the people that they love the most, or in other settings, is sort of simple. Specifically for this, the younger generations here, we're talking about our millennials and Gen Z and the generation that's coming up underneath them. where the digital brain has been impacting their ability to be present, their ability to actually listen, and even to engage in dialogue and conversation. So we know that a lot of struggles are happening as it relates to the digital brain being over, you know, really hijacked. Yeah, and overstimulated. So the framework that we offer is sort of three steps. It's I have a voice, you have a voice, and both of us are committed to staying present. So if we were just to really hone in on those three things, we find that quality of communication, understanding, being seen and known goes up. That's good for any of us. So with in any dialogue that you're having, you need to be able to be able to communicate your voice, you need to be able to hear the other person's perspective. In order to do that accurately, you really both have to have that commitment of staying present with one another. Eye contact, listening, actually, you know, staying with a person, taking turns. So someone's the speaker, someone's the listener. You've talked about how leaders really, whoever is in the you know, if we're talking about it in a office setting, in a business setting, an organizational setting, leaders lead first, you know, so be the listener first when you can. In a home setting, you know, when you're dealing with a husband and wife dynamic, here either of you are, you know, leading. So, but yes, whoever's calmer, whoever's more regulated, can you be the lead first and listen first person? In a parent-child dynamic, listen first. Show them the way. You're not abdicating responsibility as a parent in that. You're actually leading in a loving way and giving them a chance to see and experience what it feels like to be led well in that way.
Yeah. So there's a systemic thought, and I we've talked about this a little bit offline, but there's still an idea that listening and having empathy for others is one soft science, but it's also causing problems systemically and making the younger generations a little bit more vulnerable, less resilient, because they really expect that their perspective, their needs will be seen and heard first. I can see where that perspective comes into play. And there is a bit of truth in that, especially with social media and the younger generations really just being like, I need you to hear me. What we're talking about is a conversation of hearing each other, which doesn't happen in social media, and the younger generations have not practiced. And so when we're just offering this opportunity to lead, to experience, to help younger people or the person that you love the most to experience being heard and understood and empathized with, they're more likely to hear you and your wisdom and your insight and your perspective. There is a lot of hard science that backs that up from the neuroscience, and we don't have time to get into that today. But the reality is it's just smart. Like, if you want to be heard, then you listen first. Yeah. And the scriptures are so clear about this. For those of us who follow Jesus, you know, the model is to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. And oftentimes our anger is coming from not really understanding each other and making assumptions and thinking I know what you meant or what you were doing. And I'm creating a narrative without your voice included in it. And so being able to be slow to anger, I've got to be able to slow to speak and try to hear you, to try to hear what was going on with why you are frustrated, and especially when it comes to conflict between us. If we're just sharing and talking about things in the day, it maybe feels less important, but that's when we get to practice these skills so that it's more normal and natural when our bodies are heightened and we're more going to enter into conflict. So using the more mundane conversations to practice listening well is going to serve us well in the harder conversations.
That's sure been true. I mean, for us, and bringing it right into home, it's certainly raising two daughters. We started practicing this with them when they were little, you know, again, recognizing that mom and dad are big people, and dad in their view, maybe the more, maybe the biggest in their view, with my girls. So how do we show them that their voice matters and that they have a voice, and give them as many reps as possible in our home, so that when, of course, they leave and we launch these puppies, they have a sense of confidence and clarity about who they are and their voice. We want them to have that. As a dad, I definitely want them to have that, because this world is going to challenge their voice mm-hmm. in that way. Being women and being younger when they enter the workforce or in this in their communities, want them to have a sense of humble confidence, you know, kind of a balance in that way. So we practiced this and we gave them time. And we didn't do it perfectly, but it's amazing to watch now. They're both in high school, and one's finishing at the time of this podcast. The other is in the middle of their high school journey. When they have a conflict, we ask them, have you guys talked about it? Have you guys done the process? You know, we'll talk a little bit more about the process. And they do this process together, mirroring, validating, and empathizing, taking turns being the speaker and the listener. And it's something that we slow and steady kind of dripped across their lifespan, and it's paid off. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more prepared to be able to be listeners, to be understood, to be able to see people than if we hadn't done this and just sort of expected them to do what we said all the time.
Yeah, they have the skill set to hear people that are different than them and have different worldviews. And they have a skill set to articulate their worldview and to advocate for themselves when they're saying, I feel like I'm not being heard. Can I have you mirror that back? So this is part of the process. We're going to give you the steps. It's going to feel a little robotic for some of you, but hang with us. And if you've been in sales or done any sort of ministry where you've been taught how to listen, this will feel like, oh, yeah, I know this. However, the challenge is not knowing it. The challenge is doing it.
Yeah. Always.
So we're always being challenged. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Jeff is so gracious with me. He's like, could you just mirror what I'm saying? And I'm like, because I'm 10 steps ahead and I'm already talking about the next conversation. And he's saying, let's finish this one.
Stay first. Present with me.
And so that's partly my wiring, partly being female with all the complex thinking that I have. Okay. So steps, why don't you go over step one?
Yeah, so this is active listening or effective listening. We didn't invent this, but we've been trying to practice this and we integrate good clinical wisdom that you have into this process. Mirroring is the first. And so if you're the speaker and you've just shared as a listener, you mirror back. And I actually really do take that seriously. The point is in mirroring back is you say, what I heard you say was, and that's the lead-in phrase. And I actually stick to their words. Mm-hmm. I try to stay as exact as I can, actually, not in a weird way, robotically, but actually really as clearly as I can and concisely as I can. This is what I heard you say. Did I get it right? And the speaker will be kind of, you know, yeah, that's it. Or they might say there's more, or I might even ask them as a listener, is there more? Depending on a person's wiring, the speaker might just need time to continue to verbally process. And so they start with something, but they're not done. And so when you ask, is there more, it's really loving. And also depending on certain wiring types, people, when they say, nope, that's it, you can take them at their word. You know, it's just that's what they mean. So mirroring is making sure that the speaker knows that you have really, you really got what they meant. You can imagine how important this is when there's a conflict, when there's a disagreement, when there's misunderstandings. Super important. So practicing outside of conflict, mirror all the time. And then the next step.
Well, before we go to the next step, there's two thoughts that came as you were talking.
Oh, okay.
One is just explaining, and this might be a given, but words just have a lot of different meanings in the English language, particularly if you're talking in the English language. You know, I love you can mean all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. People just say, I love you because, you know, they loved your shirt and they're like, oh, that's awesome. They can say, I love you. Like we're having we're going to be committed for life. Or I love you, you're a great friend. Or, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we use words. And so this is the mirroring part, is really trying to track and not bring in our own connotations. And so we're not interpreting. And then the second is, this is the chance after you as the speaker have shared everything that you need to share, then I get a chance to ask a couple curious questions. And this can be dangerous for those of us who have an agenda with where I want you to land. We have to come with a posture of humility and really genuinely trying to understand, well, what did you mean when you used the word love? Like, what does that mean to you? And that'll help us to be get a better context of what the speaker is meaning and trying to say. Because again, words have multiple meanings and we all have different connotations with them. I just use the word power, and you probably could think about, some of you love that word, some of you hate that word, some of you still are trying to figure out if it's good or not good. So what do you mean by power would be a great curious question. Or help me understand a little bit more about what you mean when you said, I interrupted you. And in my head, I'm going, I didn't interrupt. You know, I want to defend myself. Instead of defending, I'm going to ask a curious question. And I'm going to do it with tone of humility. I'm going to do it with a softer tone. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be able to try to keep myself under that 5 and not work towards defense, because right now it's your turn to talk. Yeah. And so my job is very clear. My job is to listen. Your job is to talk. And I'll get a time to talk later and share about my perspective, but now is not the time.
So what I'm hearing you say is that after you've mirrored, that there's an opportunity to ask curious questions if you need to. I generally don't.
You don't, but
others,
I do.
But other wirings do. And that's nothing wrong with that. But that's the time to do it if you need to. And if the point is so that you can understand the speaker, that's the motive, right?
Having the
right
motive. So. Great, great mirroring and adding a little 2 cents that I thumbs up, totally agree with. Okay, why don't you share about validating, and then I'll end with empathy.
Yeah, so validating, you know, the images that we use, mirroring, we just put up a picture, a slide of a mirror. I mean, just to make that so simple. Some of you see in pictures, and this is so helpful, right? So think of a mirror. In validating, think of a pair of glasses. The glasses are the speaker's glasses. You put those glasses on, right? Can you see from their perspective how they got to the conclusions mm-hmm. that they arrived at? And this is kind of a cognitive skill. Are you able to do it? Now, man, a younger me used to struggle with this all the time. I actually, in immaturity, didn't understand that validation, you know, I thought validation was agreeing with. So I withheld validation from people all the time, because I want to be authentic. I want to be true. I want to be genuine. And if I didn't agree with how they were thinking or what they did, I wasn't going to pretend like I did. It was awesome to learn from you over in those days that validating has nothing to do with agreement with. It has everything to do with, can I actually see in my mind how the speaker got to the conclusions they arrived at? If I can, say it. Mm-hmm. And the lead-in phrase is, I can see from your perspective how you, were so frustrated in that moment, because you're a person that cares about, you know, honesty. And mm-hmm. here was a person that was bringing forth a falsehood and making you look like you were the one that was lying, you know, or validating. If you can see from their perspective. Mm. So then I became the person that validated all the time. And it was wonderful and freeing, you know. Mm. I didn't have that internal conflict yeah. that was unnecessary. So maybe you, as a listener, can relate to me in this way. It's wonderful to validate. And in this process, using effective listening, no matter who you're doing this with, you're actually loving them. Because you're helping them, especially if they're dysregulated, they're upset, they're out of sorts, or they're in conflict themselves. You're actually helping blood return from their amygdala, the back of their brain, if you will, where all that's happening, to their frontal lobe, where they are calming down. This is a loving act, effective listening.
Yeah. So validation's the cognitive, I can see, I can understand. Based on your perspective, what you said, what I understand about you, the situation. And it doesn't mean agreeing. Mm-hmm. What am I doing right now?
Mirroring.
Woohoo!
That's correct.
We do. You know what? If you listen to our podcast pretty regularly, I've been told we tend to do this with our guests.
We're always practicing.
Honestly, it's kind of one of those natural things. Partly we're doing it because we're modeling. We're trying to model to our audience. But we've been told that it's kind of annoying too when you're trying to listen to the guest and us. And so to stop doing that. But in real time, it is actually just a habit to be able to just say, am I tracking, by repeating back? You're going to be surprised at how good this feels mm-hmm. for people. It sounds trite, but in real time, mm-hmm. people are shocked by it because very few of us take the time to actually mirror back and then give somebody a validating statement to say, I can see how you, that, why that you said that, or I can see why you feel that way. Empathy is dropping to the next level, which takes a little bit more effort. We could probably do the first two pretty quickly, but the empathy is the joining somebody more at an emotional level. So I move from my head down to my gut and I'm not feeling your feelings, but I'm imagining what it feels like for you based on what you've shared. It seems like you feel angry, sad, excited, hopeful. Part of the skill of this is you've got to expand your vocabulary. One of the cheat sheets we use in Courageous Girls curriculum is through the soul words that the Yurkoviches use on their website. So howwelove.com. You can go there, but if you just Google emotion list, you're going to get all kinds of opportunities to print out emotion wheels and lists. We don't have to provide that for you, but it is okay. A lot of our leaders don't have a palette for emotions because we learn how to deal with emotions in our family of origin. Yeah. So if your family didn't use emotion words, you know, they did a lot of good job, you know, excellent, pass, you know, way to go and getting straight A's. Like they gave you a lot of, praise for performance, but not really connecting with the emotional side of when you had a good day or a bad day. We just don't have a lot of words. And most of us aren't in an environment of counseling where we're using emotion words all the time. So build your vocabulary, even if you have these five words: happy, sad, disappointed, angry, excited. I mean, pretty much there's a lot more veins of that. Anxious, overwhelmed,
alone.
Are you an executive seeking to lead with purpose and resilience? The Wholehearted Leadership Cohort, designed for executives and high capacity leaders like you, is led by Jeff and Tara Masson. This unique program offers trauma-informed coaching, personalized mentorship, and a community of peers to help you navigate the challenges of leadership without compromising your values. Don't miss the opportunity to grow in both your professional and your personal life. Applications are open now. Visit livingwholehearted.com to apply.